football on off the ball.
With Sky, watch Leeds take on old rivals Man United on Super Sunday. Live, only on Sky Sports.
So Rangers still leading Borussia Dortmund by 4-2 in the Europa League in the final stages in Germany. That'd be a huge win for Gio van Bronckhorst's side. I'll keep you up to date with all the scores in the Europa League and the Conference League throughout the evening, but it's just gone 7:30. John Giles is with us. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So credit where it's due. I think you called exactly what was going to happen with Antonio Conte at Tottenham. I don't know if you expected it to happen quite this quickly, but he gave an interview to Sky Italia this week, very upset with what happened in the January transfer window. Four important players left, two have arrived, so even numerically, instead of strengthening yourself, you may have on paper weakened. He's got them in the mix for the top four. Results have been very inconsistent, but it already seems he's incredibly unhappy with the club's ambition.
Oh, definitely. The words he used, Nathan, was like he said to improve the squad. This was in the window. In fact, made it worse to sell in young players, and you know they can develop players that they can develop and grow. And in other words, what he's saying there is they want young players in that can develop and grow. And they become more. They can sell them afterwards. That's what I think he's saying. You know, he said, "I realise now that this is the vision of the club. That means buy young to sell. That's my take on that. And that's Daniel Levy's vision. So he's got a difficult job there, Nathan. I think he surprised himself now at the situation because he bought two youngish players in the window, but they sold about four or five players. And I think what he's saying is that the vision is that we buy young players, concentrate on them, and then sell them. That's what I think he's saying. And that's always been Daniel Levy's vision, Nathan.
So then, should we have any sympathy for Antonio Conte? Because that has always been the way at Tottenham. How could he have expected it to be any different?
It depends, I think, what he was told when he was applying for the job. I think this has taken him by surprise, to be honest. Because, as you say, you know, anybody that's gone into sports should know this is Daniel Levy's club and this is the way he's going to do it. So I think he's backing up a little bit here, Conte, that he didn't expect this. Or he might have talked about it at the time when he was taking the job. And maybe given certain promises that this wouldn't be the case. But he seems to be very, very dissatisfied about the situation at the moment. And if that continues, and I think it will continue, I wouldn't be surprised if he left in the summer.
There is a bit of a pattern then emerging with Conte. Like, he clearly doesn't suffer fools, doesn't hang around if he's not getting what he wants. Left Inter Milan after winning the title last season because he was unhappy with the way the club were going about their business. So there is a precedent for him upping and leaving before the contract finishes. If he were to leave again that quickly, would it damage him? Would it damage his reputation? Or do you still think he'd have a pick of clubs?
I don't think it would damage his reputation at all, Nathan, to be quite honest. What he could do, which would damage his reputation, is stay and try and work around the situation. And you can't work, in my opinion, you can't work around that situation. It is what it is. And I don't think Daniel Levy will ever change his ways because he's got Conte now. He knows what Conte is like, what he's done in the past. And he's a very, very independent individual, Nathan. He's not a young guy that's looking for a job and will put up with any circumstances. This is an experienced guy who, I would say, would be a very, very wealthy individual that's not doing it for the money and knows exactly what he wants and has the experience to say, well, if this is the situation, I'm not hanging on. Because a lot of players, people, ex-players go into management, first of all, who need the money and have no chance of getting a job elsewhere. And they have to stick with it, Nathan. Actually, they have to go with the Daniel Levy's of this world when they're starting off. They're so desperate to get the job because there's lots of six or seven, eight people look in line to get the job. He's not one of those. Conte's not one of those. As you say, he left Chelsea. He wasn't sacked to Chelsea. He left, what team was he in there? Inter Milan? Inter Milan, where he'd won the league with them. He wasn't sacked there. He left because there was no future. He saw no future at the club because I think they were short of money. So I think when he went to Spurs to talk to Daniel Levy, he said, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. And I'd say those terms were agreed, or else he wouldn't have taken the job in the first place, Nathan. So I think what he's saying now is, this is not what I bought into. You know, they've lost about three or four players in the market so far that he was after. And I think they signed two youngish players. And what he's saying is, I can see now what the vision of the club is.
Is he getting the most out of the players that are there? They've lost their last three league games, beaten by Chelsea, beaten by Southampton, and then really abject performance against Wolves in last weekend. When you look at the talent that is in that Tottenham squad at the moment, has he improved them?
Oh yeah, yeah. He lost the last three matches, but he won seven or eight or nine matches in his first go, Nathan. Mm. I think he's done a good job with the resources that he has, no doubt about it. But they're just not there. They're not good enough, Nathan, and they haven't been good enough for a while. So, you know, what I saw of the Spurs, they're better than before he took over. I'm sure about that. But he knows now. I mean, he's played Chelsea, some of the top teams in that. I know he's some of the bottom teams as well. But he doesn't have the players. I from what I see of them, I thought he got a good tune out of them before the last couple of matches. But I don't think he's got good players. In relation to, you know, Manchester United, Manchester City, or Liverpool, or any of the other teams, he just doesn't have them. Mm. And what he's annoyed about, he got two players in who were youngish players. But all the other players that he wanted, the more experienced players, he didn't get any of them. That's what he's saying there. We're worse now than when we were at the beginning of the season, or his time there.
All our football coverage brought to you by Sky. Don't miss Manchester City against Spurs. That's on Saturday Night Football, live only on Sky Sports. Manchester United in that race for the top four got a really important victory against Brighton in midweek under a bit of pressure in the first half, but goals from Cristiano Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes. But another week again dominated by stories off the pitch. Gary Neville very vocal in his criticism of the amount of stories that are coming out of Manchester United, the questions about Ralph Rangnick, the questions about his assistant manager. They're not happy with the standard of training. There's an awful lot of sideshows going on at Manchester United. It doesn't feel as though Rangnick or anybody can get a grip of that dressing room at the moment.
I think you're absolutely right, Nathan. But don't forget, he's there as the interim manager, Nathan. And we've spoken about this before. Your listeners might be fed up with me on this. Interim managers doesn't work, in my opinion. Because you have to, as a player, and I know as an ex-player, that the manager has to be the boss. And you have to feel he's there forever. And you're all there forever. You have to please him. You're going to deal with his contract. We're going to do all the things that you have to play well to do what's needed for next year. Now, if you know he's an interim manager, I think the attitude is, especially with a lot of players at Old Trafford, he probably's not going to be here next year. I'm not going to buy into what he's doing. He's not going to be here next year anyway. I don't have to please him. That's what happens. You know, my friend, you, as a player, and I was at Leeds particularly with Don Revie, you're there forever, together.
Mm.
Forever. That's how you build up the team spirit and the morale and all the various things. Whereas, like, in my experience in football, there's a lot of players on the pitch. Say, when I played for Leeds, I didn't agree, say, with what Jack Charlton wanted to do. Right? Me and Billy Brown were coming back too deep. We don't want you back there. Right. That would be in a team talk. And Don Revie would say, OK, Jack, we heard what you said, but in future, if John and Billy are there, you give them the ball. Jack didn't like that, but he did it, because Don was the boss.
Yeah.
Or in my situation, John, I don't want you to do that, I want you to do that. A few things I didn't agree with, but well, he's the boss, that's what I do. But if he was an interim manager, right, and I knew he wasn't going to be there next year, I could say, well, yeah, I'm listening to you, but I'm still going to do what I want to do myself. That's what happens, Nathan, you know? And he's amazing, some of the things I just read, what he did just during the week, where they were losing the goals, they were one up and then losing late goals.
Yeah.
And he said, they say we should be three or four up at that particular time. I spoke to Sash Lenz, I think it is, L-E-N-S-E, right? He's a psychologist.
Yeah.
right? I spoke to Lenz about that. The only thing we can do is speak to the players one by one and the whole team about why we concede to go the late goals and what we should do afterwards to score the second and third when we won the scored the first goal. Now this is a psychologist, right? Now the reason he should know, if he knows his stuff, why as a football man they're losing these late goals in the game. That's not up to the psychologist. That's up to him. Because they must be doing something wrong, not giving the ball away, whatever they're doing. That's a football man's job to sort that out. Not the psychologist, Nathan.
You don't think there's a maybe a mental side to it, that there's a lack of confidence in the squad at the moment, that when they don't get the second goal, there's a nervousness that a psychologist can work with the players and...
No, not the psychologist. The manager is... the manager in the football terms is the psychologist, Nathan. It's part of the job, right? The manager doesn't think himself a psychologist. But obviously, when Manchester United are losing the goals, they're doing something wrong. Right, it's not their heads. They're just doing something wrong. They're not backing each other up, or whatever it might be. I don't know. But if it's the manager, I'd want to know why are we losing these goals and to put it right.
Mm.
You know, they're the players. They're the players, and obviously they're giving the ball away. They're doing something in a football sense, not a psychologist sense, because the manager has to be in certain terms. He's not a psychologist in a medical sense, but in a football sense. He has to be, Nathan. You know, like if they're losing goals, it could be, say, Ronaldo's fault for not chasing back, for example.
Yeah.
Right? It might be Fernandez's fault for not doing something, for not giving a simple pass, giving it away, trying to be clever, whatever it might be. That's him watching the game. And as a manager, that's what you have to sort out. Don't do that again. I don't want you to do that again. You're not to do it again. It's wrong. And it goes through the whole team. But you can't call a psychologist in, Nathan, to talk, in my opinion, to talk to the lads as why they're losing goals late on when they should be in front. Whatever they're, when they get the goal in front, Nathan, they're obviously doing something wrong, football-wise, and the manager has to put that right himself.
Yeah.
He has to see it. No, that's what I can't understand when I read that. I think, well, why is he calling a psychologist? You see that yourself, what's going wrong. And it's happened a few times, three or four times to City, to United when they're going up. But that's a football thing.
So they're not
doing right. You know, they're sitting back, or they're going too far forward, or they're taking too many chances, whatever it might be. That's his job. And that's any manager's job to sort that out.
So your feeling is he's passing the buck?
Definitely. Psychologist. You know, psychologists have a job to do, but that's usually to work on players who might be having problems, in my opinion, outside the game, you know, or maybe a bit nervous going into the game. They can help in that way. But psychologists is not going to help, in my opinion, when you're in front and you should be winning two or three more and you're not, and you finish up throwing the game. That's what's happened to Manchester United up to the other night when I know they won 2-0. But that's the manager's job. You know, what were you doing? There's some reasons. When you're losing goals like that, Nathan, there has to be a reason for it on the pitch. There has to be. But that's what you have to see. You know, the centre-back, the full-back might be in the wrong position, should have been on the cover. You know, the midfield player's gone too far forward when they shouldn't be. They should be sitting back. That's a football problem. And he's to solve that.
Historic weekend, no matter what happens.
Training standards will increase. Expectations will increase. I just can't go against Ballyhale.
The Club Championship Show. Subscribe to the GAA podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The game on Sunday at the John Giles Derby. Leeds against Manchester United, Elland Road, 2 o'clock. It's going to be live here on Off the Ball. First league meeting between the two sides in almost two decades. I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be absolutely red hot. The rivalry between Leeds and Manchester United, someone who spent most of their career with Leeds, how fierce a rivalry is it?
I don't think it's as much now as it used to be.
Right.
You know, when Leeds were doing well and they were challenging United, and at one stage where I was lucky enough to be there, where we dominated United for a few seasons. I think it started obviously when Leeds were first promoted, and they knocked Manchester United out of the cup semi-final of the cup, and beat them at Old Trafford. It started then, because Leeds didn't have a history really now. So Leeds have gone out of it for a while now. I know they're back in the second season in the First Division, in the Premiership. But I think that rivalry is not as intense as it used to be. Because, you know, I think Manchester United wouldn't see Leeds as potential winners of the league or anything like that at the moment, Nathan. Mm. But it'll still be a tough game. It'll be a tough game for Manchester United. Leeds at home, they're not going so well. They've had a couple of injuries as well, Nathan. But there will be a rivalry there, but it won't be some of the bitter stuff that in the old days.
Just on the Champions League this week before we finish up then, Liverpool grounded out last night against Inter Milan. Manchester City, 5-0 away from home against Sporting Lisbon. Mm. Are City your favourites for the Champions League?
Well, you know, they won 5-0 away from home. I don't think City are playing as well as some of the results suggest, Nathan. Now, that might sound a bit odd, but the other night when they went 3 up, like, they weren't dominating the game in a way that you'd be 3 up. I mean, they took their goals very, very well indeed. Mm. But it didn't look to me like a 5-0 game, you know? And I might be wrong. I've said that a couple of times about their wins this year. I think they played one match. They didn't play particularly well and won. But they're doing their stuff. There's no doubt about that.
Is it just the way they play? Is it just the style? It's a very different style from, say, Liverpool, who are always looking to force it and looking to capitalise on turnovers. Whereas Manchester City, there's a real patience the way they play. They just trust the routine and the rhythm and the repetition that eventually the opposition will switch off and they'll take advantage.
Yeah, well, that's a fairly good summing up, Nathan. But the opposition have to switch off.
Mm.
You know, like even the other day, I think they went 3 up, and I thought, they're not playing that well to be 3 up.
They scored
some spectacular goals. I mean, Bernardo Silva's goal was a cracker, and so was Sterling's. But you're looking to watch it. I've got a 3 up, a 4 up, by half time. And I thought, I didn't think they were playing that well. But that's only my take on it. Obviously, you have to be playing well enough to score the goals. But I didn't think it was a 4-0. And some of the matches, even in Norwich there, they won, I think it was 4 or 5. Didn't look like it to me. But as you say, that's the way they play. They haven't got a recognised goal scorer. But they're doing their stuff in a big way. I thought Liverpool's match was a much more difficult match the way it was going, Nathan. You know, Inter Milan made it difficult for them. But looking at it, I would say that if I was a Liverpool or a neutral, I am a neutral, I thought Liverpool played better to win it 2-0 than City did to win it 5-0. And they were both two good wins, don't get me wrong, and two very, very good wins.
Are they, so talking about favouritism, are City and Liverpool, from what you've seen through the group stage and the little bit of the knockout stages, are they the two best teams? Are they ahead of Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah, I think they're the two best teams in it, Nathan. Definitely. If they avoid each other, it could be a final again. I think the performers I've seen so far, the two best teams I've seen are definitely Liverpool and Manchester City.
All right, John, we'll chat a lot about Leeds against Manchester United next Thursday night, I'm sure, and also plenty more Champions League to come. Manchester United, Atletico Madrid among them, and Chelsea in there as well. But John Giles, great stuff as always. It's Thursday.
Thanks Nathan.
John Giles with us every Thursday, 7:30 here on Off The Ball. And if you miss any of that, just get onto the OTB Sports app, subscribe to our football podcast, and you get John Giles straight to your phone every Thursday evening. Up next, after 8 o'clock, we're going to be chatting with Sonny Bill Williams.
Football on Off The Ball
with Sky. Don't miss Man City versus Spurs on Saturday Night Football, live only on Sky Sports.